Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello, and welcome to the Emmy Awards. I'm your host, Emmy Cardinale. This is my podcast where I talk about what I've been watching and rewatching once a week. I am recording this Thursday evening, just for context. I don't really know why I need context, but I'm going to be talking about Yellow Jackets, and a new episode drops tonight at 9 Pacific. So I'm recording this before I've seen that episode, and I just wanted to preface that. If this is the first time you're hearing of me, make sure to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts, rate and review, any feedback, comments, concerns, any of that. My DMs are open. I do check my message requests on Instagram. Yeah. So first thing I wanted to talk about was Yellow Jackets Season 2, Episode 6, because my last episode, I spent most of it rambling about Yellow Jackets because I had just become very obsessed with it. I hadn't just watched it, but I started watching it a month ago, and I got through season one really quickly, and I've been watching season two live. And I recorded last week's episode before episode six was out. And I have so many thoughts about episode six that I just wanted to touch on really quickly. I'm dying of heat right now, so apologies for any missteps. I'm very overheated right now. The weather in LA is all over the place. Some days it's really, I don't know. This is my first, I haven't reached a year living in LA, and it rained a lot in January, and then it kept raining. So I kind of just I don't know how to predict the weather. I don't know if it's going to stay consistently hot now going forward. I don't really know. Anyways, Yellow Jackets Season 2, Episode 6, Qui, which is French for who, that, which. It's can be used for any of those depending on the context. I took French in high school, so I already knew that. I don't remember French enough, but I don't know French enough that when Lottie started speaking French in season one, I had no idea what she was saying. I eventually caught on with subtitles, but I didn't understand what she was saying. But you know what? I think it's because there was a demonic voice effect. It wasn't just Lottie speaking French. It was weird. Anyways, I'm not making any sense. So season two, episode six, the big storyline, obviously, of episode six was Shauna giving birth to her baby in the wilderness. Yellow Jackets, if you don't know what it's about, TLDR, is it's about a women's soccer team, a high school women's soccer team in the 90s, 1996 to be exact, that is on its way to nationals on a private plane, and their plane crashes in the Canadian wilderness, and they're stuck there for 19 months. And it tells the story of them in the wilderness, and then it also parallels the past storyline with present day, starting in 2021, because that's when the show came out. And one of the characters, Shauna Shipman, who we had an adult counterpart for her from the beginning, from the pilot, because there are a few characters from season one that didn't have adult counterparts. We didn't know for sure if they survived the wilderness, because it's unclear who dies. Shauna always had an adult counterpart, so we always knew Shauna was going to live. But Shauna was pregnant with her best friend Jackie's boyfriend's baby. So she was having an affair with her best friend Jackie's boyfriend, Jeff. His name's Jeff. Jeff and Jackie. She was sleeping with Jeff, and she was pregnant. with Jeff's baby in the wilderness. And like she found out in the wilderness when they all got their periods, I think in episode 6 of season 1, it's called Blood Hive, but I can't remember if it's episode 5 or 6 or 7. I don't really remember, but I know it's called Blood Hive. Which I really like that episode. All the, like women, all of the girls' periods sync up in the wilderness, and they do like a like ritual where they're like channeling demon, like the ghosts and the spirits and everything. It's very witchy, very, it's like, I love Yellow Jackets because of like the fact that it's a female led show, and it's about primarily like women. And I really like that detail of like everybody gets their periods, you know, like there's just like, not that like women necessarily have to have their periods, but like there's just something, I don't know. When I, like, the survivalist genre always intrigued me, but like my first introduction to it was like Lord of the Flies in like sophomore year English, which I talked about this in my last episode, but like I couldn't relate to any of the characters. It was so unrelatable to me, and so I enjoy like tiny details like that make me feel like I like that, you know. Anyways, but that's when we find out that Shauna is pregnant because she misses her period, and obviously eventually Jackie finds out. They have a huge fight, yada yada yada. But season 2, now Shauna has, like, she's about to give birth, and that's what episode 6 is. And I said last week that I was pretty sure the baby was going to die, just, like, from a realistic standpoint. It didn't make sense that the baby would live that long, because, like, not even all of the, like, adult human beings are going to live. And yes, there's like hints that they eventually start killing each other, but like before the hunting and killing of each other, like Jackie died in the wilderness. Coach Ben probably doesn't have very long left. He's going kind of crazy. Like the adults are not surviving. I don't see how possibly a baby who was probably not nourished very well in the womb, through no fault of Shauna, just the circumstances, like they were starving, they were rationing food, it's winter, there's like no proper medical care, Shauna like wasn't taking prenatal vitamins, and then like there's no baby formula, so if the baby weren't, like I just, all the logistics, I was like, if the, like there's a good chance the baby's not going to live. So I didn't think the baby was going to die, like live very long. I also didn't think they were going to eat the baby, which was a big conspiracy. And I was prepared for the baby to die because of all of these things, because even though there are supernatural elements, I'm not somebody who typically watches supernatural stuff. So I went into it very much from a like, logically, the baby's not going to live very long standpoint. So I was prepared for that. But the episode was like so unbelievably heartbreaking that like it still got me. And I don't know why, but I'm like kind of tearing up a little bit talking about it now, just thinking, like trying to put myself back in like last Thursday's mood when like it was so heartbreaking. Like it was so heartbreaking. Because there was like a fake out where it seems like Shauna gave birth to the baby, and obviously she's struggling to latch, but then the baby does latch, and Sophina Lise, Shauna, the actress, gives like a unbelievable performance, and there's a really beautiful speech that she gives to the baby, about like, I'm sorry that I didn't want you, but like it's you and me against, like I can't wait to see who you become. It's you and me. And it makes me really sad thinking about it. And it was paralleled with adult Shauna talking about how she never wanted a kid, and like she loves her daughter anyway, despite herself, even though she never wanted to be a mom. And I saw an interview with the creators of the show, and they said that they, like, the interviewer asked them if they always knew the baby was going to die. And they were like, yeah, we pretty much always knew the baby was not going to make it. And, like, we considered it for, like, a split second of, like, changing that. But, like, the fact that Shauna lost the baby in the wilderness and that traumatic experience she went through is so, like, core to her character and to her relationship with her daughter in the present day, that it would have been really hard to, like, rewrite it, is what they say. And I do, like, understand that. And I'm glad the way they wrote it. And they also said in this interview, which I love watching, like, interviews with, like, the cast and also, like, the writers and creators. Like, I it's one of my favorite things about TV. Like, if there's an interview about stuff, like, I always watch a ton of interviews. Something else they said was the reason they decided to do that fake out was because they wanted the audience to, like, see the weight of, like, what she lost. It wasn't just, like, she gives birth and the baby is stillborn. We see Shauna, like, have the baby and bond and struggle with the baby and, like, connect with the baby. And then it's not real. And it makes it that much more heartbreaking. And it's not just, like, what I liked about it was that it wasn't just, like, one of those things where it's, like, an alternative universe or, like, what could have happened. And it's a dream sequence in the sense that, like, it wasn't just a fake out for the audience. It was a fake out for Shauna. Like, she wakes up and it was all very real to her. Like, she experienced that. She felt, like, it was, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just a fake out to the audience. It was, like, Shauna actually experienced that. And it made her losing the baby that much more heartbreaking for her. And the way they ended the episode with Shauna, like, just a close-up of Shauna being like, can't you hear him crying? I can still hear him crying. Like, was devastating and so well done. And it was just such a great, it was such a great storyline, and I think it's been obviously such an important aspect of Shauna's character up till now, and I think it will continue to be. Like, I think they're all obviously experiencing different traumas in the wilderness and different responses to the trauma of the existing in the wilderness and all of that and everything they've lost. And they obviously all had their own traumas before then, like, that have shaped the ways they react to things. Like, Nat had, like, a traumatic childhood where she always had to take care of herself. So she looks at things very practically and very factually. And she's, like, problem solver. Like, we're going to hunt. Like, obviously, all of those things factor into the way they react to the trauma of the wilderness. But I just think that it was really well done. And it was such a heartbreaking episode. I haven't looked at my notes once. I wrote down notes, and I don't know what to say because I'm just giving my, like, honest thoughts. I'm really excited to see where the season goes from here. I know Sophie Nalisse has said, or somebody else has said, I don't know who said, but somebody said, it was Sophie Nalisse, that the sadness becomes anger. And I think, again, the fact that she experienced that and it was so real to her that she had the baby and then she, like, in her dream, it wasn't real, but she saw them eating the baby and then that's when she woke up and she's like, my baby's gone. I think that that's going to, like, obviously really tinge everything going forward. But I'm excited to see where they go from here. I know the ends of the season is always, like, really ramp up. So I'm excited to see where it goes from there. I'm excited to see more of Lottie and Nat's dynamic, like, as adults. I think Coach Ben is going to die soon, if not in episode 7, then episode 8. I don't think he's who they hunt, because there is obviously that sequence or clip from one of the promos where they're all, like, running through the wilderness, like, hunting somebody. We don't see who they're hunting. But I don't think we see all of them. Like, we don't see Nat, I don't think. But I don't think they're hunting him. I think he's just gonna go crazy. He's already, like, I think, and I trust, like, the writers. I feel like they don't, like, they plant things very purposefully to then execute it into, like, a greater storyline or, like, a, I, like, you know, I really trust them that they will, that they're not just, like, putting random things in to not execute them eventually, if that makes sense. Like, I trust that they're not just putting random, like, things in for no payoff. Like, I feel like there'll be a payoff. And Coach Ben's arc this entire season so far has just been him, like, going in and out of his, like, I don't want to call them delusions, but, like, these, like, this imagination of, like, what life could have been like. And I think it started in season one, but, like, this season, or maybe it didn't, I can't remember. I watched it all, like, back to back, so it's, like, blurring together for me. But I don't know, there has to be some kind of payoff, and I think that payoff is he's going to go completely, like, he's going to completely lose his mind, and something really tragic is going to happen to him, and I do think they're going to eat him, but I don't think he's who they hunt, but I think he dies next. I don't know how the adult storyline is going to resolve itself, turn out. Like, I genuinely have no idea what it's going to be like now with all of them together. I know there was, like, a sneak peek or part of the promo, episode 7, like, they're all together, they're dancing, they're drinking, like, it seems like they're having a good time. But generally, like, I just don't know what the adult resolution, like, now that they're all together, like, I'm really fascinated to see what that dynamic storyline is going to be. Like, I don't really know what we're going to get from them all together. I'm excited to see it, but, like, I just don't know what. Like, season one, the main conflict with the adults was that they were being blackmailed, and then they reunited to, like, try to stop the blackmailer, and then somebody died, and they tried to cover up the murder, yada, yada, yada. And season two, I don't know what, obviously, Natalie has been trying to, like, expose Lottie in her cult, now they're all there for the cult, like, Misty wanted to get Natalie out of the cult, but now that they're all together, like, I don't know what that's going to be like or what's going to happen. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what the rest of the season's going to look like in general, but I feel like, especially for the adult storylines, I have so many questions. I think inherently with the younger storyline, there is so much more story to tell because they've only been in the woods for, like, 6 months, maybe, and there's still a year to go, so there's, like, obviously chronologically a lot more to tell, and I feel like the present-day storyline, like, I just don't know where they're going, and not in, like, the story shouldn't be told way. I think it should. Like, I think the two-storyline thing is what makes the show so great. Like, I think I would still watch it if it was just the wilderness, or even just them as adults, but I think it's a complete well-rounded show with both storylines, obviously, but I just don't know narratively, like, where they're gonna go from here with the adults. Like, will they resolve the Adam Martin thing? Is Walter gonna come back? If they do have some resolution, is there gonna be some kind of cliffhanger for season to the way there was for season one for the adults? I don't really know. Like, now that they're all together, I'm just like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm excited to see what's going to happen, but I genuinely don't know. That's all I have to say about Yellowjacket season 2, episode 6. It was really, really good. If you're not watching Yellowjacket, I'd recommend it. Obviously, there are a lot of, like, content warnings, trigger warnings. It is a very intense show as it deals with, like, cannibalism and, like, survivalist and just trauma in general, like, survival, and trauma in general. But it's a really good show, and it's also very funny, and it's not just, like, I said this at last episode, but it's not a show where, like, I said this, but then last week I did come away from it just feeling very, very sad. But overwhelmingly, when I finish an episode, I'm not like, it doesn't worsen my mood. Like, it's very intense stuff, but it's done very well. And also has, like, a good amount of levity and, like, humor to it, that it's not just, like, a depressing watch. And I think that's so important. I think sometimes with drama, like, in quotes, things are just, like, depressing or overwhelming or, like, you know, to watch, there's not, like, a balance. I think there's a really good balance with Yellow Jackets, where obviously it talks about really heavy things, but there's a level of, like, levity and humor and, like, campiness to some of it, too, where it's not, like, one note the entire time in a really, really compelling way. So, yeah. Love Yellow Jackets. Very excited to see where they go from here. And I'm kind of sad that the season's almost over, but I will just be rewatching. I just finished rewatching season one, actually, because I watched an interview where they said they planted a seed in the pilot, and I was like, I should, like, rewatch it to figure out. I mean, I had already started rewatching it, but, like, after I heard that, I was like, I want to pick up on, like, any little seed they planted to be like, there's a seed they planted. There is an episode where Travis is, like, playing, he's trying to play solitaire with the deck of cards, and Natalie comes in, and she's like, there's no queens in that deck, and that's obviously, like, a big deal in this season, apparently, or at least it's a seed they planted that's gonna, like, come up in season two. I mean, there's a queen, like, a card queen. Lottie found, like, hallucinated the queen card. We see it in, like, the promo photos. There is a scene when Javi comes back where it's, like, very faint in the background, but I saw somebody who isolated this vocal where Mari or Akilah or somebody says to Javi, where'd you find this queen card or something like that? So, yeah. Anyways, I'm excited to see where it goes next, and I will probably talk about what my thoughts were on episode 7 next week. I'm a week behind, I guess. Not really, because I record these before the episode. It doesn't matter. Anyways, the next thing I want to talk about is Vanderpump Rules. Also, talked about it last week, but I have more, like, structured notes. I'm just literally, yesterday I sat down and I was like, what have I watched in the last week? And I wrote notes down on all the stuff that I've been watching recently to talk about here. And that's what I'm doing. I have done in the past, like, structured recap episodes. I want to do one of those eventually, like, recap reviews. I don't know of what in the near future, but I want to think of something and do, like, a deep dive review recap. Haven't figured out of what yet. So the next thing I have on my list is Vanderpump Rules, specifically this week's episode. I don't know the number, but it was the week of it came out the 10th of May. And it was the original finale, because if you don't know, Vanderpump Rules is a reality TV show, and a scandal broke in March, I believe. Yeah, in March. And they picked up the cameras and started filming again. So the finale was originally supposed to be the episode that aired this week, but they filmed a finale in March, like another episode in March. So that's going to be the finale. So the episode that aired this week was the original finale, and it was filmed in, like, September of 2022. So, like, a while ago. And I'm glad that it wasn't the finale, because I think it would have been a little bit anticlimactic. Maybe it's because of the whole scandal, like, hindsight is 2020 perspective, but I feel like it would have been a little bit anticlimactic if this is where it ended. Don't get me wrong, it was a phenomenal episode. Let me see what I wrote down. The first thing I have on my list is that Sandoval sucks. And, like, the thing is, obviously I'm looking at this with, like, the knowledge that the entire time this is happening and these conversations that we're watching now happened, he was already sleeping with Raquel. Like, obviously I'm watching that with this knowledge, but I genuinely feel like even if I didn't know that, I would not come away thinking he was a sympathetic character or really empathizing with his perspective at all. Like, he critiques Ariana
He literally said to Schwartz that, like, I pick up the toilet paper. I'm the reason there are pens in the things. Like, what does she do for me? It's like, have you told her? Have you told her, hey, I'm picking up the toilet paper a lot. Could you start doing it or something? Like, I've never been in, like, a long-term, I mean, I've never been in any kind of relationship. But I have lived with people. And just, like, from a roommate standpoint, it's like, obviously, you want your roommate to pick up, like, their half of the, like, pick up their slack or whatever. Like, contribute to, like, maintaining the house and, like, the... But you also, if you're not communicating that to somebody and you're just like always like you, every time you see you're out of toilet paper, you buy toilet paper without saying anything, then how are they supposed to know that you want them to like pick up that kind of slack? Like if every time the dishes are dirty, you just wash the dishes instead of being like, hey, we agreed that you would do it this week. Then like you can't be mad at the person. Or, like, resent them, like, begrudgingly do your dishes. Like, yeah, it's kind of annoying if you're the one doing the dishes every single time, even though your roommate was supposed to do it. But if you're, like, I feel like instead you should be, like, sometimes people forget things. Like, have you communicated that to her? I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of your relationship, but obviously hindsight, whatever. But in general, I just, the way he talks about his relationship with Ariana bothers me. And the way he talked to Ariana about the relationship bothered me, like, beyond just, like, everything I know now. Like, I just don't think the man is very mature or a good communicator or an empathetic person. I mean, I don't know him personally. I'm just going off of, like, a three-dimensional version of him on reality TV, yada, yada, yada. I always have to give disclaimers when I'm talking about reality TV. I mean, I think... I feel this way, especially with The Bachelor, because it's like those people are very much reduced to caricature. Vanderpump Rules is a little bit different of a dynamic in terms of like the relationships with the producers and the editing and the storylines and all of that. Like, it's a different beast. But I do always like to give that disclaimer because I don't know these people at the end of the day. Like, I don't know them. And they're not like... fictional characters where I can say whatever I want and it's like, well, they're not real. Like, they're real people. But what I'm receiving from him, I also always, when I see how public figures react to controversies or conflict or scandals or any of these things, honestly, to me, I don't know if it makes me judge them more, but it's like, if this is what you feel comfortable saying in public or on camera, like, what are you like when nobody's recording you? You're like this, at least, maybe you're worse. Like, I don't really know. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard for me because it's like, if this is the way he talks to Ariana when, like, recording is happening, then why, what is he like to her when they're not recording, if that makes sense. And it's not like he was like super like blah, 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 but he literally is like, you belittle me in public. And literally, like, the clips they show of like examples of her belittling him or like him being like a total douche and her being like, I'm not gonna do that. Like, it's literally just her not like bowing down to him when he's being a complete asshole. Like, I'm sorry, that's a good partner. That's not her belittling. If she's not saying, Tom, you're a fucking dumbass, or like, Tom, what, you know, it's her being like, Tom, you're wrong in this instance. How is that belittling you? It's just holding you accountable for like messing up like human beings do. She's not belittling you. Like, I think he just wants a yes, like, man as a partner. And it's like, that's not healthy. Ariana wants, like, clearly an equal relationship where Tom just wants somebody who... Tom wants to steal the spotlight. I mean, I even think about, like... It's also just absurd to me that Tom Sandoval is saying that Ariana belittled, like, belittled him when she was constantly on his side. She was constantly, like, his number one hype man, was constantly on his side, never doubted him, always stood up for him, like, was rooting for him always. And I'm sorry, that's just not the case for him. It's not, he is not giving that same energy back. And yet he's criticizing the energy she's putting into the relationship. Why? Because she's not validating you and like the exact way you need. She's putting a lot more into the relationship than you are. Like, literally, Ariana was writing a cocktail book, and instead of being like, I'm so happy for you, like, you're writing a cocktail book, he, like, threw a fucking hissy fit and was like, everybody has been saying to me that, like, they can't believe that you're the one who got approached about writing a cocktail book. Like, you did. And then he was saying in the interviews, like, Ariana's not even that passionate about, like, cocktails. Like, this is my thing. This is my passion. Yada, yada, yada. And eventually, he wormed his way into that book deal. And it was their cocktail recipe book instead of just hers when she was the one who was approached. That's not a supportive partner who's, like, always, like, rooting, like, cheering for her. Her grandmother died. Her grandmother died. And he made up excuses about how he couldn't get away from, like, he couldn't get out of the part, like, he couldn't get home from, like, the Memorial Day weekend party he was at. Obviously, we found out now that that is not really accurate or whatever. And in general, like, I just, it really, it pisses me off so much seeing this man who has taken no accountability, even now after being involved in a public cheating scandal. He has never once been like, yeah, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I handled it poorly, point blank period. It's always, cheating is wrong, but we weren't having sex, but I had tried to break up with her, but she didn't understand that we had broken up, but she's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, there's always deflection. There's always shifting the blame. And it's so infuriating to watch that man talk to her and about her while he's sleeping with her best friend, basically criticizing what she is putting into the relationship. And she's like, we need to be connected to have sex. And, like, there are so many things that it's like everything she's saying, she's 100% right about. She's 100% right about. And the conversation she had with Raquel, which it was very highly speculated what that conversation was going to be. I saw somebody say that it was Ariana was going to open up to Raquel about how she thought that she was being cheated on, and Raquel was going to be like, if that's true, I'll be here for you. That wasn't the conversation. I was waiting for that conversation to happen, and it never did. The conversation between Raquel and Ariana in the what would have been the season finale was her basically being like, you want to be in this, like, checking with Ariana that she wants to be in the relationship. She's like, but you want to be in the relationship. And she was like, she literally said to her, like, I knew with James. James is Raquel's ex-fiance. She's like, I knew with James, like, 2 years before I broke up with him that I wanted to, that I shouldn't have been with him. Like, she was basically trying to be like, you say you want to be in it, but, like, are you sure that deep down, you know? Like, it was, like, that kind of thing. She was, like, asking about their sex life. She was like, it's important to, like, have sex to be, like, in a healthy relationship. All these things. And it's like, girl, sit down. Time and place. You did it at my birthday dinner. You know what I mean? Anyways. but literally, time and place. I mean, there's no time and place for that kind of behavior. But I'm really excited for the finale to see everything getting picked up post-Scandal. I'm excited to see the conversations, like, everything. And I'm especially excited about the reunion. I'm so excited about the reunion. And it got picked up for season 11, so that's very exciting. I wrote something down. I have a few other notes I'm going to make about, I just went on a Scandal rant, but I have more to say about different aspects of the show slash this episode. I just honestly went on a little rant, didn't mean to. The next thing I have on my notes was that I think it's interesting how the cast views, like, James' relationship with his new girlfriend, Allie. I find that really interesting because they're all kind of very much like, we don't really think it's going to last. Like, James likes her way more. And I mean, I don't know, Allie. Maybe that's just the, like, her general vibe. But I don't really know if that's necessarily true. I mean, again, they haven't been together very long. And I don't really know. It's really hard for me to judge their relationship off of, like, the very little I've seen on TV. I like Allie. She seems, like, perfectly nice. James Kennedy is one of my favorite, like, cast members from the show. He's just so funny. He's always been sympathetic to me. Is he kind of a shithead sometimes? Yeah, but he's really funny. And he's been through shit. I don't know. Like, not that that's an excuse for all the, like, shitty things he said. Don't get me wrong. But I've always liked James Kennedy. Like, I've always liked him. Not like I've liked him every single moment he's been, but from the beginning I've been like, I've had a soft spot for James Kennedy, very similar to Lisa Vanderpump, the way that she kind of like let him off the hook a lot. That was me with James Kennedy. I was like, that was wrong. But I have to say, again, I mean, I don't know these people personally. I don't really know, like, to each their own, but it did make me sad when he decided not to be sober anymore, because he was like, I kind of went sober for Raquel and we're not together anymore, so like, I'm not going to be sober anymore. And I really liked watching his sobriety journey. And I think honestly, it was Raquel's ultimatum that made him decide to be sober. But I think that it was like a very, I mean, again, I don't know him personally, but it seemed like a very positive thing. And I mean, I wish him the best in whatever, like, I'm not an alcoholic or an addict. So I'm not sober, but so like, you know, I'm not in a 12-step program. I don't really know addiction and like alcoholism and that stuff from like that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not an expert on any of this. And I wish him the best and the happiest, healthiest life in whatever route that takes. If he's living a very content, healthy, happy life with drinking on occasion, then I'm happy for him. I just want the best for James Kennedy. And yeah, I honestly, on some level, again, like, they're real people. So I don't like to ship them, because I'm like, they're real people, not characters on a TV show. But if they were characters on a TV show, I would ship Lala with James. That would be my canon, my like head canon. If they were, is that what people say? That would be my like fanfic if they were not real people, because they are real people and I don't like shipping real people. It's like weird to me. I like rooting for couples. Like, I'm like, oh, they seem like a strong couple. I wish them the best, but I don't like shipping if they're real people. Does that make sense? Does anybody else feel that way? Because like, I have ships on TV shows like Seth and Summer and like Percy and Annabeth from the Percy Jackson series, but like, they're not real people. So I'm not like, you know what I mean? I think it's just because when they're real people, I'm like, I don't actually know the ins and outs of their day to day. I don't know them in real life. Anyways, I love Lala though. She's probably one of my favorites. I don't really know about Allie and James' relationship. Again, I feel like we haven't seen that much of them, but I wish him the best. I have to say, again, I have a soft spot for James, but it makes me very sad when I feel like everybody just kind of counts him out. And yeah, he's done like a lot of really messed up things and he has anger issues and he's reactionary, but I feel like people don't give him his flowers enough or like wish him the best enough. It's never like, I don't really see this relationship working, but like, I want him to be happy and I hope it's always like very snarky. And I know that's just like the vibe on Vanderpump, but I feel like sometimes they're snarky, but there's like a level of like, there are like soft spots for some people. And I feel like they never give James the benefit of the doubt or wish him the best. Like his whole thing a few episodes ago where he got really mad at Schwartz for saying something about Rachella, like, which was his proposal to Raquel. Like, I understand why he was upset, because he's like, it's not about that. It's about the fact that I was talking about me performing at a festival and I'm really excited. It's a big step for me as a DJ. And he made it about like my failed relationship. That would piss me off too. If like I'm talking about a very important professional milestone and you have to like make a dig about like a former relationship, especially coming from Schwartz, who had just made out with Raquel against his ex-wife Katie's wishes. And on that note, the next thing I have on my list is hashtag justice for Katie, because I think something I've recently, as soon as I learned about Scandoval and watched season, like I watched all of the recent episodes of season 10 at that point, I went back and I watched season 9 and then I started right from the beginning. So I've seen all of the show now. And I have to say, If there's one thing I took away from watching the entire series up until this point, well, now I've seen all of it because I'm all caught up, but Katie was done so dirty in her relationship with Schwartz just because he is like a likable, charismatic guy. Anytime she reacted poorly to him not being very kind to her, or him not being considerate to her, anything where it was like she was wronged and maybe she didn't like take that the proper way, she was always shit on because Schwartz is just like a sweet little puppy who can do nothing wrong. It pisses me off, just as for Katie, still to this day. And there's obviously like a lot of debate about whether her request to not hook up with anybody in friend group was like reasonable or not reasonable. And like, I think that one, it wasn't like a demand or like an order in the sense that like she can actually physically, like she can stop him from like, you know, she clearly didn't, like he still made out with somebody, but it was like a request from like, hey, we run in the same circles, we work together professionally on this television show, we're public figures who went through a public relationship, public marriage, and public divorce. And I, like, you know what I mean, I think that when you break up with somebody in like a normal day-to-day average situation, you can create a level of like a certain amount of space that you can't necessarily have in the same way when you're like literally on a television show together and you're public figures who were publicly linked from the beginning of your time on this television show. And so I think that is an especially, I mean, I think it's always a valid request if you're staying cordial with like an ex, no matter what the relationship is, just to like set a boundary, because it's not like an order. It's just like, hey, this is my boundary. And if you want to remain friends with me, please respect that. I think that's a valid thing to do at any time. The person doesn't necessarily have to respect your boundaries, but then that shows you that they don't really want to, they don't value your friendship or want to be in your life in the same capacity or the same way, if that makes any sense. So I think it's a valid thing to say, but I think especially because they are public figures, it's going to be in her face publicly. It's not like when you break up with somebody and then you like cut off contact and maybe they like hook up with somebody who like, obviously like Raquel and Katie weren't like best friends, but they ran in the same circles. If like they just like made out once, it's not the same as just like your ex-husband making out with somebody you like know, like of a friend, because they're public figures and it was on a TV show and she had to be asked about it for months and months and months before the TV show aired. And then while the TV show aired and like now after the TV show is airing, like all of that, like there's a level of like, there's an amount they have to be in each other's lives inherently that I think makes it different from just like an average relationship where maybe you can, you don't have the right to like request things of that person anymore because you're no longer in a relationship. I think while they are no longer in a marriage, they, by nature of being on the show together and having dogs that they switch, like that they co-parent, are still in a relationship. Like they're not in a like a marriage or like a romantic relationship, but they still have a relationship and a rapport. And I think no matter what the level of a relationship, you're allowed to set boundaries and be like, hey, this would really, really upset me. Could you not cross this boundary? And he did cross the boundary. And then she said, I'm keeping my distance from you because I asked you to respect this and you didn't. I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do in any relationship. But I think especially because they're public figures and there's that like added level of like, he didn't just kiss like somebody she knew once. Which, I mean, like, he did. But it's so much more than that because it became a storyline on their TV show that then they had to do press about. And there were articles about. And then any time Raquel and Tom were together, it was, like, brought up to her. You know what I mean? Like, it was a very complicated situation. And I think with the history of Tom just not really seeming to care or validate Katie's feelings and Katie's perspective and respecting Katie's boundaries, even when they were in a relationship, I understand why it would especially upset her. Like, she was in this relationship with this man for 12 years. He was not the best partner to her. She finally is like, you're not meeting my needs. I'm not going to be in this relationship anymore, but I want to remain civil. Can you please respect this? And then he still doesn't respect it. Like, I would be done too. I would be done too. Justice for Katie. Does she have her issues? Obviously, they all do. They're like on reality TV. They all have their issues. They're all reactionary. They all could use dialectical behavioral therapy skills. Obviously. But overall, I think Katie just gets shit on way too often. And yeah, let me see if I have anything else. Excited for the reunion, excited to try something about her, Katie and Ariana's sandwich shop. They like previewed a few sandwiches in last night's episode, and there's a vegan one, and I'm excited to try that. I'm not vegan, but I am a vegetarian. I don't know what that one had in it. They didn't say like the ingredients. They just called it the grain, but I'm really interested in what it has in it, because I feel like a big like struggle I have sometimes with like vegetarian sandwiches specifically is that there's not protein, and I don't feel like fully satiated when I'm done, because there's not like protein, like there's not tofu or like mushrooms or something with protein, you know. So I don't know, I'm excited to see what it has in it. Maybe it doesn't have any protein. I will still enjoy it. I love a good sandwich. But I hope it has some kind of protein, because us vegetarians like to eat a sandwich with like a protein too, not just vegetables, you know, like some tofu, some tofurkey, some Beyond Meat, anything. Like I love a seitan. There was another thing that I was thinking of and I don't remember what, but yeah, I'm excited to try that. Okay, so the last thing I have on my list is that I have recently started rewatching SVU, Law and Order Special Victims Unit. I cannot tell you why. I just really wanted to rewatch something I had already watched, but not something that I felt like I had to, like, I had started rewatching the OC like a while ago. And I picked it back up season two, and I watched like a good amount of season two, and I could keep watching that, but I really wanted to watch something that was kind of like episode by episode, like contains storylines. And obviously there are through lines with shows like that, but I really just wanted to watch something that I didn't have to like, that I could bop around the seasons and the episodes. Because I really can't just like rewatch isolated episodes of things. Like when I'm rewatching Gilmore Girls, I have to like start from the beginning or like pick up a rewatch where I left off. Like I can't just like watch an episode in season 7 and then watch an episode in season 1. Like I can't bop around that way. And I really wanted to be able to do that. I've been cross stitching a lot, and I'm currently working on like a really big thing. It's the Yellow Jackets logo, and it's going to take me forever. Probably not like forever, but like maybe 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. I don't really know. It took me like 3 days just to do the Y for Yellow Jackets. So it might take me a little while, but, I also have a full-time job, so I'm not like working on it like 8 hours a day. You know, I work on it like 2 to 3 hours after work while I'm watching TV. But the reason I brought this up is because I really like to do it while I'm watching TV or listening to a podcast or something. And it's just a very, like, it's a nice thing to do when I'm like rewatching something. So I wanted to have something on in the background. So I've been rewatching SVU. Anyways, all of this to say, and I have a lot of mixed feelings about SVU because it's a cop show. Like, it's about the NYPD, and I do not support the police. Like ACAB, you know what I mean? Like I didn't watch it for, like, I really had to stop watching it for a while because I was like, I'm uncomfortable with the cop propaganda. Like, I really am. I really, Like, I don't know. I had very mixed feelings because I was like, I don't want to rewatch this for you because, like, I don't. This is not an accurate depiction of the criminal justice system. And I think I have come to realize that part of the reason it brings me a lot of comfort is because it's kind of about, like, an idealized version of what, like, the criminal justice system is. Like, obviously, it's not, like, every single time the person wins and, like, their assailant or their abuser goes to jail. Like, it's not, like, always 100%. But I think Olivia Benson is such an advocate for survivors and, like, it's just, like, I talked about this in my last episode, but I love shows that talk about trauma. And I think SVU talks about, like, a variety of traumas, and people always have different reactions to them. They're obviously common threads and different experiences in, like, healing the trauma, getting justice if they get justice. Like, there's, I don't know. There's something about that, like, brings me comfort in the sense that it's, like, people going through traumatic events, but then getting some kind of resolution. Sometimes it's not always the most beautiful, like, tied up in a bow resolution, but there's always some validation from at least Olivia Benson of, like, what you went through, like, you didn't deserve to go through that, or, like, it wasn't your fault. And I think that's just very comforting to me as somebody who blames myself for, like, things I've been through. In that sense, it's really, like, healing. I also grew up watching it, not from, like, when I was, like, 5 years old, but, like, I watched it as a teenager. And I think, again, for as flawed as, like, cop shows inherently are, I have to say I learned a lot about consent and, like, sex crimes and all that kind of, like, literally from SVU. And again, all of it is not, like, 100% accurate or whatever, but I think I learned a lot about, like, sex crimes and consent and, like, trauma and all that kind of stuff watching SVU, and I do appreciate, like, some of the things it taught me, genuinely. Genuinely, you know what I mean? Like, I did learn things from SVU watching it growing up, and I think that's part of, like, it brings me, like, some comfort because it's familiar. Again, Olivia Benson is, like, such a validating advocate for survivors in a way that feels very, like, comforting to me. I don't know. Anyways, I have to say, Barba is my fave, like, favorite ADA. I was so sad when he left. I started just rewatching all of his highlights. All his best episodes. I love Raul Esparza. I hope I said his name correctly. I apologize, Raul. He's not going to listen to this. But Barba is my favorite ADA. I've seen, like, a lot of them. And, like, some of them are good. And I don't mind Carisi. I liked him better as a cop, to be honest. Just because he's no Barba. Like, I miss Barba. I miss him every day. They're bringing back Stabler. Like, now he's on Organized Crime. I'm like, bring back Barba. That's who the people want to see. On Hulu, which is where I watch it. Like, I've been rewatching it. There's like ripped from the headlines. And there are a bunch of episodes, like, based on true stories. And then there's the best of Olivia and of Benson and Stabler. And I'm like, where's Best of Barba Tap? That's what I want to watch. I had to Google his best episodes. But he's my favorite ADA. Again, I have very, like, a, you know, mixed relationship with the show. I do have, like, a series recording on my parents' DVR, and I watch it, like, most of the time on, like, Fridays after the episode airs on Thursdays, or, like, this week I watched it, like, a few days ago. Like, I watched last week's, like, recently. And it was a really good episode. I really liked this week's episode. But I don't really, like, rewatch or, like, binge shows like that anymore. I used to do that with Criminal Minds too, or like Bones, where I would just like watch so much of it. And I really haven't done this in a long time, where I've watched like this kind of TV, just like rewatching it in like a binging way, where I watch like 4 to 5 episodes a day. Like, I haven't done that in a while. But I was just kind of in the mood and I'm enjoying it. But again, I have very conflicting feelings on SVU and cop shows as a whole, obviously. And yeah, I also have written down here, the last thing that I have written down, like the last show that I wanted to talk about, was Succession. But the truth is, I feel like I don't have anything intelligent to say about Succession. Not that I have necessarily intelligent things to say about like everything else I've been talking about, but I feel like I have some more articulated thoughts. Succession, I just watch it and I'm like in awe. Like, I come away and I'm like, I have no thoughts. I do have thoughts, but like not really intelligent ones. I'm sad it's the last season. I started watching it like when season 3 was airing, or right after season 3 finished airing. I can't remember, but it was like last year. Did season 3 air last year? I have no sense of time. Since I graduated college, I'm like, I have no idea what, like, I can't believe I've almost been living in LA for like a year. Like, it's crazy. Like, time moves so quickly. I've literally no concept of time. So I don't remember when season 3 was airing, but that's when I watched it, like all of it. I'd never heard of it before. Like, I guess I was living under a rock. I have no idea, but maybe I had heard of it. I don't know. The first time my sister had like was very like became very obsessed. I hear about so many shows through my sister. Or a podcast I listen to. That's how I found out about Yellow Jackets, because HBO Lax, which I mentioned last week, they were like deciding between recapping Succession or Yellow Jackets season 2. But anyways, so that's how I found, like, my sister became very obsessed with Succession, and I was eventually like, I should check it out. Same thing happened with White Lotus, actually. She was tweeting about it. She was like, seated for the new White Lotus on Twitter. And I'd be like, I should check out White Lotus. But anyways, so that's when I like, I didn't watch it immediately when she became very obsessed with it, but like around that time. And I'm kind of sad that like the first season I'm watching like every Sunday live is season 4, like the final season. Like, I'm sad about it. I really am. It's an amazing show. Like, if you're not watching it, you should. Like, I don't know anybody who has watched Succession and doesn't like it. My mom likes the show, and she, like, I wouldn't say she's picky, but I feel like she doesn't, I don't really know. We don't like a lot of the same things, or she'll, like, check something out, and she'll be like, that's too much for me, or, like, you know, she likes Succession. I think I genuinely, it's such a fascinating show. It's so well written. The dialogue is phenomenal. The storylines are really well done. It's such a good show. I have nothing intelligent to say about it other than you should check out Succession. And it's about to be over. I actually don't know what episode we're on. 8? I have no idea. But like it's coming up to the end. So you can watch all of it eventually, really, really soon on HBO Max. Like, genuinely, it's such a good show. But I have to say, I got through seasons 1 through 3 like so fast that I want to rewatch all of it. I think once it's over, I'll like start from the beginning, because I don't remember like anything that happened before season 3. And I don't even remember half of season 3. Because I watched it so quickly, and I'm a chronic rewatcher. Like, I like to watch things like 2 to 3 times. And I haven't rewatched it. I watched everything once and I don't remember anything that I do remember, but like, I don't remember. So I want to rewatch it from the beginning, but I'm going to wait till it's all over and then I'll start from the beginning. But yeah, those are my thoughts on everything I've been watching and rewatching this week. Please make sure to follow me wherever you listen to podcasts. My social media will be linked, as it always is. Any feedback, comments, critiques, concerns,
all of the above. Welcome. I'm interested. I accept it with open arms. Please tell me what you think about any of the shows that I've been watching. If you have any questions about like my thoughts on like specific characters or storylines, especially on Succession, since I literally just like, I have to say, okay, let me see my takes on Succession. I love Shiv. Shiv is probably my favorite. I don't know if it's just, you know, women, I support women's rights and women's wrongs. I don't know, but I love Shiv. I also really like Kendall. I feel indifferent. I feel indifferent towards Roman. Like, sometimes I like him and sometimes I don't. Like, I feel very conflicted about him all the time. You know? Like, I'm always a little uneasy when he's on screen. Like, I like him. And then I'm like, do I like him? You know that the kombucha meme where she tries it and she's like, gross. And then she's like, that's me with him as a character. Don't get me wrong, I think he's hilarious. But in the last episode where Tom said something to Shiv about like having a kid, I was like, is she gonna tell him? I talking about pregnancy, I talked about Shauna's pregnancy. What is gonna happen with Shiv's pregnancy? She was drinking in the last episode. I don't think she cares, but then why is she like going to an OBGYN and having like anatomy scans? I think like I genuinely don't know how she feels about this baby. Is she gonna give birth to the baby? What's gonna happen with the baby? Or is that gonna pay off at all? It has to, right? I don't know. I really want to know what happens to the baby. I obviously really want to know what happens with the company. Like I want, I'm excited to see where it goes. I don't really know. I have to say, when Roman just started firing everybody, I was like, dude, chill out. I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel like that's just, oh my God, that scene where Greg is on like the mass Zoom call and he's like reading from his script, firing all of them. I wanted to die. Like, that was so triggering for me. I've never been fired that way, but I know people have been fired that way. I have been fired from a job once, and it was a traumatizing experience, but that's a story for another day. And I feel like being laid off that way would be so unbelievably triggering. And it's obviously like, I mean, this is like reality. It's America that we live in, but it's like, so, I don't know, like insane watching this show. They're like throwing around like billions of dollars, like 1 billion, 1 million, like, you know what I mean? Like crazy amounts of money that I could never fathom having in my life. And then they are just so nonchalantly like ruining all of these people's lives. And I relate to those people. So I'm obviously like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's such a good show. It's such a good show because it's such a quintessentially American show. Like, America. America. it really is. Like, I watch that show and I'm like, this is why I hate rich people. Like, I don't really know, because I have stress nightmares where I get fired and I, like, can't pay my rent. And, like, if I got fired, I wouldn't be able to pay my rent. Like, I wouldn't be able to. I don't have any other source of income. And I don't have enough savings because I don't make a ton of money. So I don't even know. I would just have to go back to Maryland. I don't like thinking about this, but I just like, you know what I mean? It's just, I said I didn't have anything to say, but I mean, I have things to say. I'm just like, they all sound so stupid. Like, I don't have anything intelligent to say about Succession. I don't understand what half of they're saying. It's like when I'm watching Shark Tank. I mean, obviously in the show, it is like, it's a TV show, so it is all fake. But when I'm watching Shark Tank, I'm like, it's like a board game. It's fake money to me. Like, it's Monopoly money because it doesn't feel tangible to me. And I think seeing like hints of the average person, or like their interactions with like the average person, to me, that's when I'm like, I'm that person. That would be me. I would be getting fired. Okay, I'm not gonna get fired. I'm not putting that. I am keeping my job.
for a very long time and putting that out into the universe. I mean, I haven't done anything fireable. I'm good at my job. But anyways, thank you so much. Now I'm actually doing my, I know I started doing my outro, but I am going to actually do my outro. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you have any thoughts about anything that I've been talking about, please let me know. I don't think you can comment on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I don't really know. But you can reach out to me personally, and I will respond. Please share this with a friend. Follow me over at Listen Podcast. Follow my social media for updates. Rate and review. All of that good stuff. I also want to say that I am going to be doing a redesign of my logo and all of that, because I do not like my logo. I just haven't had the time or energy to do that. But I think I have a vague idea of what I want to do moving forward. If you know anybody who has an Emmy Award, please let me know. Thanks. I mean, okay, no, this, because it's not the Emmys, but I just like, I want to do something like more punny based on the name, because I don't think I know my logo currently doesn't sell what this podcast is even about, and I want something more. So anyways, I'm trying to figure out how to do that. That'll be happening hopefully by the end of June. I'm not going to say by the end of May, because I don't like to make promises that soon. I have a lot going on right now. I'm fostering a new round of kittens, and then I'm going to New York in May for Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. It'll be my first Eras Tour concert, and then I will hopefully be going to an LA one as well. I don't know why I say hopefully, because I do have tickets, but it's just like, I don't know. Again, I don't like to... Who knows what'll happen? But yeah, so I have a lot going on this month, I guess is my point. Plus, I'm working on a cross stitch. I want to finish my Yellow Jackets cross stitch before I do anything creative. But, or not creative, but anyways, I am going to be doing a redesign. I want to make this podcast better. And that's where I want to start, because as somebody who is into graphic design, I'm not putting my best work out there. So yeah. And any feedbacks, critiques, concerns about any of that, please let me know. Anything you want to say to me. If you just want to say hey, I'll say hey back. Anyways, sorry for going on a million tangents, but that is what we're known here at the Emmy Awards. We're not known for anything. That's what I know about myself. Anyways, goodbye. Thank you. Have a great week, and you will hear from me next Friday. Bye, guys.